Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. We're so glad that you're here with us. And for those of you who are watching online, welcome and enter into the presence of the Lord this morning with joy and thanksgiving. As we begin today, we want to say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a good Father. Thank you for the beauty of this morning and for the wonders of your love in our lives. Lord, some of us are hurting. Some of us have come through a difficult and challenging week. Some of us are celebrating and giving thanks this morning. Lord, this morning may all of us turn our focus to you, for you have been with us through our trials, and you have been with us in our moments of joy and celebration. And you are with us now, so enable us to lift you up, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to honor you. And we ask that you'll come and move in our lives to make us more like Jesus. May we make your praise glorious today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this time we'll sing.
To you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am.
We're so grateful for the perfect love of God that reaches into our lives right when we need it, before we even know that we need it. And where would we be without it this morning? It gives us due north. It gives us guidance and direction, sometimes correction, but always from love. So as we go to the Lord today, we want to keep in mind the prayer requests of our community of faith. We want joy to come to lead us. And we're going to be praying for Shirley Johnson. She did go into hospice care this week. So hospice is helping out at home. She's not having a great day today. So please pray for Shirley and for the family and for Bonnie, who's there by her side. And then we want to pray for Norma, who is continuing her physical therapy for at least another week. And so we're grateful for the progress that she's making. Several are traveling today, so we pray for traveling mercies for them. We have our board meeting tonight, and we pray for good things happening in the future of our church and for plans being made. And we just hope that all of us will be shining examples of Jesus' love in our world. And we want to pray for our leaders as they are making important decisions that affect all of us, our national leaders, and even those around the world. On the other side of the world, the virus is still very front and center. And we pray that things will continue to improve here. The numbers are very good right now in our area. But we do want to remember that there are still people being affected by this disease. Barb's neighbor, Bob, who we have been praying for, did pass away on Friday. I believe it was Thursday or Friday. And so we're praying for that family and for Barb. And just to remember to be praying for this disease to be wiped out. So with all this in mind, let's go before the Lord in prayer.
Our dear Lord in heaven, we do know that you are a good, good Father. You love us. You supply all of our needs. And we are grateful. We praise you for all things. And Father, as we're here today, we've heard the prayer request. And we pray especially for Shirley. Dear Father, we pray that you will comfort her, ease her pain, let her feel your presence with her. And dear God, may she feel the strength of the prayers of those that care for her and the love and appreciation we have for all that she is. And Father, we pray for her family. We pray for Bonnie, and we pray for all those that are close to her and caring for her, and even at this very moment. Father, we pray for Norma, and we are so glad that she is making progress. And we pray, dear God, that this will be a week of great achievement at the rehab. And Father, we pray that she will once again be with us, and we just know that her strong faith and her love for you carries her through. We pray for others. We pray for Barb and her entire neighborhood as they grieve the loss of their dear neighbor. And Father, I pray that you will comfort them, give them peace, and we give thanks for the life that Bob led. And Father, as we're here today, each one of us can think of another person that is perhaps suffering physically, going through disappointments. And Father, we just pray that you will be with them and give them comfort and let them know that you are there, that you're leading them, you go before them. And Father, whenever we have to change directions or go to a new place, we know that you are there walking beside us, leading us on. I pray, dear Father, for our nation. I pray for those that are dealing with the COVID-19 now. And I pray, Father, for all those that have loved ones who are either suffering with it or have passed on. Dear God, you know what is best for each of us, and we just put our faith and our trust in you. And Father, I pray for our world. I pray for our president as he's meeting with other world leaders. And Father, I pray that this will be a time of peace, a time of accomplishment, a time of love and service. And Father, I just ask that you would be with each and every home that's represented here this day. May our homes be havens of peace. And Father, I know that each one of us has a yearning to know more of you. I pray, dear Father, that we will set aside time each day to grow in the Word, to learn, to pray and praise. And Father, I pray for our pastor as he brings the message this day. May your Holy Spirit speak through him and touch our hearts, Lord. And may we not be distracted. May we focus in on that message and pick up the kernels that we can to take with us as we leave here to minister to others, to be Jesus to others this week. We could go on the entire day giving you thanks and giving you prayer requests. But Father, we know that you know our hearts. You know our deepest needs. You provide for us. And Lord, we just cannot thank you enough. Be with us this day. Bless Pastor Tim. Keep him safe. Keep him healthy. Keep him enthused. And dear Father, we love you so very much. And it's in your Son's holy and precious name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, we hope that you'll give before you leave today and the plates that are provided. We do have an update on our HVAC fund. We are just over $2,950 at this point. So we have about $3,000 left to raise. So we ask you to continue to pray about what your family can do, and we say thank you to those who've already given above and beyond. But however you give, whether you give online with the Give Today button at fairmeadowchurch.org, or you can click the Donate button on our Facebook page, or if you mail it in, or if you've given in person, we appreciate your faithfulness and your stewardship in putting God first. All right, at this time, let's turn our attention to God's Word. And today I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians again. So let's stand in honor of God's Word. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 6. Open your heart to the Word of the Lord. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others. But we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to your consciences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. And this is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. Well, if the Corinthians were alive today and on social media, Paul's actions would have a few comments with the abbreviation SMH, shaking my head. It's the ultimate troll comment, claiming moral superiority over the other. And the last time someone posted that on something I said, it was pretty funny. It was just in a Cubs forum group on Facebook. I said, be careful, you might get dizzy doing that, but I'm fine over here. But seriously, it's one way to look at what Paul is saying here in this whole letter and also in this passage specifically. Of course, what he's talking about is more important over whether the Cubs should stick with Alcantara at second base, but there's more at stake here. But the same approach is being taken by these people who by now should probably know better. Naysayers and trolls always need to be reminded that they don't get the final say. Because let's face it, it's always easy to criticize, right? If you're sitting there and watching somebody else do something, it's always easy to see your opinion of what they should do differently. But like Teddy Roosevelt said, the man or woman in the arena, right? The one who is laying it on the line, they are the ones that should have our affections. In this case, the ones who are out there actually doing ministry are the ones worthy of respect. That's what Paul is saying. Now, they have been constantly second-guessing Paul, but Paul isn't trying to be popular with them. He's not trying to get lots of likes and positive comments. He's thinking about so much more than that before he's deciding how to act, what to do, and what the priorities are. And if Paul starts factoring in their opinions of him, he won't be able to function as a true apostle. And I just have to say that too much modern leadership material is about pleasing people. And I'm just going to lay that there. That has limited value in the kingdom of God. If people today were living back in the Corinthian days, they might be even worse critics of Paul than the Corinthians were. They might be focused on his physical appearance. They might be focused on the music that he chooses or the temperature in the room. As weak as some of the Corinthians' arguments are, they don't compare to the kinds of things that modern spiritual leaders sometimes have to listen to. Some of us don't have enough to do or to think about if we live on the surface of our likes and dislikes in the kingdom of God. But Paul challenges us. He challenged the Corinthians, and he's challenging us with a vision for how to live out our lives that addresses both ancient mistakes and modern mistakes and false judgments across the ages. One way he puts it is that our location really doesn't matter. Whether we are at home in the body, and that's a powerful image that he uses there, making our home, making our dwelling here physically. So whether we're at home in the body or present to the Lord, the priority is the same, Paul says. We walk by faith and not by sight. And some of the people who quote that phrase are not always as good at actually living out what it means. Walking by faith but not by sight doesn't just mean believing God for a nicer car or something else like that. We walk by faith and not by sight in the sense of following God's leading each day. So let's lean in and let's try to learn from what Paul is writing to them and to us. So in verses 12 through 14, he says this: "We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. Paul basically is saying this: I'm not going to try to defend myself to you. I'm not going to try to explain everything to where it matches up with your likes and dislikes. But I am going to explain some things that could make you proud of me as your leader. I'm sure that his heart was a bit broken about having to write these words at all, because of all the sacrifices he made so the people at Corinth could know the truth, and all of the risks that he took in his lifetime. And here they were questioning whether he was a real apostle. He says, if you're willing to look at these things, you could understand why you could take encouragement from me. But he says, the choice is yours. He says, it's not the opinions of men and women, but it is the love of Christ that motivates him in all that he's doing. That love that goes beyond reason. It doesn't always make sense from the outside. The love that goes beyond surface criticisms. Look, he says, you may look at me and think I'm crazy for what I'm doing, or you may look at me and think I'm brilliant. But what you think isn't what matters. That's what he's getting at. He says, if you like what I'm doing, great. I'm glad. But I'm aiming higher than that, if you don't mind. That's what Paul says. And it's interesting how he says here, Christ died for everyone, not just for one. And that's why it can never be about the opinions of any one person. When he says Christ died for all, therefore all died, I think he's talking about how everyone dies out to self in baptism. When you begin the journey of following Jesus, you're saying, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. So our opinions die with us in one sense in the waters of baptism, or in when we're making our public profession of faith, but even more so when we surrender to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It shouldn't be about our opinions. What drives us day in and day out should be something different, because we no longer live for ourselves. Amen? Now, we still have opinions. They still do influence us at some level, but they will never, for the Christian, be the most important reason why we should or should not do any one thing. The love of Christ is the only worthy final reason. And it's about touching the most lives possible and humbling ourselves in service to others. So this morning, it's pretty simple what Paul is saying. Don't stand on the sidelines and criticize. If you're standing on the sidelines shaking your head, you're doing the Christian life wrong. Verse 16 gets at it even more deeply. And let's read this one together. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. That's powerful, isn't it? Those who looked at Jesus from a human point of view said, no thanks, I'll pass. A poor itinerant speaker from Galilee? Nah. A carpenter in Nazareth is the Son of God? Nope. A common criminal nailed to a cross is the Savior of the world? Impossible, people said. With the eyes of human opinion, you can miss it all. And it's just that easy, really. And Paul says, we used to look at Christ this way. And boy, that is revealing so much from his heart in saying that. Because do you remember how far Paul went in looking at Christ from a human point of view before he came to Jesus? Do you remember how he used to round up Christians and throw them in prison? He tried to stop them any way he could. But something happened on the Damascus Road that changed all of that. It changed how he saw Christ, and it changed how he saw everyone else and everything else in life. A bright light from heaven came down and blinded him to all that he was seeing before. And then it took a humble Christian leader to lay hands on him in prayer. And then Paul said that scales fell from his eyes. You can read about it in the book of Acts. I recommend that you do. Now, something physical happened here, as these physical scales did fall off of his eyes. But more importantly, this was a spiritual reality that was taking place. It was signifying a new moment in Paul's life. And now Paul could truly see. Are you with me this morning? He went from judging everyone. He went from rejecting Christ. He went to rounding up and stamping out everyone trying to follow him in a moment to humbling himself and giving his life in service. So he's talking from the heart of his testimony, from the heart of the story of his life. He's not just sharing information with us. He's telling us this is how it goes if you follow Jesus. And don't just turn to him in a moment and then point back to that moment, but live as if the love of Christ is compelling you every day. So now Paul's preaching Jesus wherever he goes. Before this time, he wanted a career in religion. Now, the love of Christ compels him, even if people think he's out of his mind. He's convinced that everyone needs Jesus, and that's all that matters from now on. Before, he wanted to please powerful, influential people. But now, things have changed. It's not that he wants to displease other people. It's just not his bottom line anymore. And look at that, what would seem like just a subtle shift. Wanting to please people, it led him to these horrendous acts of persecution. Isn't that horrible? So for us, we should think about this. When we're living to please other people and we were wanting them to have a good opinion of us, we could very quickly go off the rails just like Paul did. Well, from now on, Paul is playing to an audience of one. From now on, Paul sees everyone in terms of who they could be in God's hands. He sees those who are far from God as those who could find their way into God's family. He sees those who know the love of Christ as those who should roll up their sleeves and get to work in spreading that love that compels us. The old has gone. The new has come. New life. And eventually a whole world made new. That's what Jesus is up to. But along the way, life after life after life, family after family after family, finding their way into the kingdom of God's holy love. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. So you shouldn't judge them at all by who they used to be. You shouldn't judge them by the surface. You should be able to see what God is doing, and you should join God in it. And if you're in touch with God's transforming love, then that same love that compels Paul should be compelling you to serve, to love, to minister to those who need it, rather than just trying to please those who already have it. Amen? So the question falls to us. Are we on the sidelines or are we on the playing field? Have you been standing on the sidelines, second-guessing others? It's time to get in the game. Put on the full armor of God and begin to love others in action. Have you been serving, but you too quickly get caught up in trying to please a certain group of people? Learn the lesson that people are fickle. You can't please them all if you're doing God's will. So watch out for this trap. And if people get used to you living to please them and then you suddenly don't, then sometimes people are even more upset with you than they would be with somebody else. You hear what I'm saying there? It's not like it earns you the chance to turn a different way. No, when you've been giving others their way and then now you begin to go God's way, they will hammer you for sure. So just stick with God's ways. God's ways are best. How far would you go just to make someone else like you? That's a bondage that no one else needs. And it's miles away from living in the kingdom of God. Too many churches are held back by a few fussy people who want to control what is happening. And I'm grateful we're not experiencing that in our congregation. But it's something we have to be aware of. Now, Paul got free of this way of living, but he went so far at one point to participate even in the death of Christians before he had this very traumatic experience that changed the course of his life. And he stopped holding the coats of those who were killing the true believers. And he stopped carrying water for those connected to the wrong kind of power. So this morning, don't let anyone manipulate you. Instead, let the love of Christ fill you and compel you. The family of God is here to lead us into light and to lead us into truth and holiness and loving our neighbors and sharing the good news in wholesome ways. The Holy Spirit is the one to be speaking the loudest, not a few individuals. Now, Paul spoke truth to a church that was always tempted to slip back into cozy self-preferences. God's people held on to these letters because they realized that there was powerful truth in them. They recognized the voice of the Lord in a way that could speak across the ages, reminding churches in every age that it's not worth playing games with the things of God. Let's win the day for love and hope and healing and salvation. Amen. Let's see people for the potential that they have in Jesus. And let's love them as they are. And let's do what the love of Christ compels us to do. Let's keep on doing it until more and more people are found to be in Christ. So here's a question this morning. Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, the old has gone and the new has come. So can we see the old passing away in our lives? Can we see the new taking over so we live in loving ways? And can we see God's new creation happening again and again and again? Anyone here want to see that? Anyone here want to experience that in your life, in your heart, in your neighborhood, in your family? Then let's allow the love of God to motivate us. Let's allow that one day appointment we will have with Him when we stand before Him. Let that motivate us to live in ways so that moment can be a moment of celebration of how God moved in our lives. Amen. We really do have an audience of one, but we have so many who need to find that audience. Let's pray. Father, fill us this morning with more of you, because that's what we need. And Lord, empty us of more of ourselves So there's more room for you, more room for your fullness, more room for the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. May we be able to stand and say, the love of Christ compels us. And Father, I thank you for Paul. I thank you for his life. Though he strayed at one point when he heard from you, Lord, when he saw it, how it really is, from that moment on, he laid out, poured out his life in service to you. He's a wonderful example to us across the ages. Was he perfect? No. No one ever has been except Jesus. But he shows us, he tells us what we need to hear, and then he shows us by his actions what's possible. Father, I believe that today for us as your people living now in this moment. I believe it for us as your church, gathering where we do, living where we do, shopping where we shop, going where we go every day. That we can be the same kind of person where the old has gone, the new has come, and the love of Christ is compelling us, no matter what anybody else thinks. And Father, I pray we'll be discerning people, that we'll get beyond the surface and we'll see the reality. And I pray that your truth will move through our lives in a way that changes other lives. With your eyes closed this morning, is God nudging you today and saying, yep, it's time. Roll up your sleeves. Get in the game. Make sure it's the love of Christ compelling what you're doing this morning. And if every part of your being is saying, yes, that's what I want, that's who I want to be, then would you raise your hand this morning and reach out for the grace that God has? Thank you. Thank you. Father, I pray that your grace and mercy will fall on your people. I pray that scales will fall from our eyes wherever they need to, Lord, that we will see things as they really are, and that we'll see you as you are. And this morning, may we remember, like in the song we sang, you're a good, good Father. Lord, you are for us. Yes, we will stand before you one day, Lord, but your mercy will still be present. Your forgiveness will still be there. And if anyone is in Christ, then we know we will come through those moments. But Father, what we want that moment to be is not just barely getting on through because of the mercy of God. We want that moment to be a moment of celebration and praise and thanksgiving for what you did with each of our lives. I pray that we're living with devotion, living as the love of Christ compels us to live, and glorifying you in every way. So, Father, bless your church. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, and help us bear fruit for you. We pray this in Jesus' very powerful name. And everyone said, amen. All right, well, let's stand together. It's been good to be together today, and let's declare our faith before we go. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Go as the love of Christ compels you to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.